church started to form, and anyway, a persecution started to take place, and the question became, okay, now that I'm a Christian, what do I do? There's a lot of different things that started to come up. John sort of acts as a rebuff to some of the heresy, some of the false teaching that was starting to take place within the church. One of those things was a thing called Gnosticism. Gnosticism, right? You've all heard about that. It's horrible, isn't it? You're like, what are you talking about? Gnosticism is easy. It comes from a Greek word, just means knowledge. And so what happened was that some people started to raise up and they started to say, you know what? God has given us special knowledge. You know that Bible, and at this point, Paul's letters were circulating. They had the Old Testament. They had a lot of these things. And people were saying, yeah, the Bible's kind of good, but God gave us something else. Can I just give you a good tidbit? The past few mornings in Sunday school, I want to encourage you, if you want to come up for Sunday school, it's a good time to just learn and kind of roll up our sleeves, some dialogue back and forth, we go through some things. But in here, what we looked at was Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. And it's interesting because they'll say, oh yeah, we're Christians. But you look at their beliefs and they are not. And each one of these, what they also do, the Mormons have the Book of Mormon, they have the Pearl of Great Price, they have other books. They say, yeah, the Bible is okay, but we have other books. Jehovah's Witnesses do the same thing. Right? Not only that, but they have their own translation where they change some things from the Word of God. But also on top of that, they have the Watchtower, right? You've already received one, you know, seen those all over. And they have a few other publications that they give out. A good rule of thumb. If someone comes up and says, yeah, we have the Bible and something else, run away. All right? That's a good indicator. We believe the Scriptures are for us. They can attain all knowledge. Peter tells us of knowledge and of godliness. You want to know how to live? You want to know how to have fellowship with God? Guess what? The Bible is complete. So if anyone comes up and says, yeah, the Bible's okay, but, well, if someone throws their butt around, you turn your butt and you go away. All right? Is that too? Okay, scratch that. All right? But I want to be blunt. I really do. Because we have so many people out there and really muddying the waters. Well, that happened within the first century church. Other people were starting to come up with other books of the Bible, other teachings that was out there, that we have secret knowledge, and all these things started to come in. And in here, as Paul, as John starts writing to the church, he wants to encourage them. He says, wait a minute, this is what the Bible says. This is how we should live. Because what we believe reflects on what we do. What we believe reflects on what we do. You know, for instance, if I yelled, hey, there's a fire. No, I'm not saying that. I don't know if you can get in trouble for that, but if I said that, right, you're like, oh yeah, I believe that. But if you just sat there, do you really believe? No, right? If you believe that, you would hightail out, right? Your belief would have an action, right? As a husband, right? What, because of my relationship, it has an impact. I can imagine if I went somewhere and worked with people and did things with people and you know, they finally got the article in the paper and they said, oh wow, I didn't know you were married. Right? Then I'm doing something wrong. Right? Because of who I am, because of what I do, it should reflect in my life that I'm a husband, that I'm a father. Right? Because I'm a pastor. Yeah, I'll even get other pastors and talk to them, and you know, we never go see each other. Go, you know, I can't go to see another pastor work because I'm working, right? And so in here, we because of what I believe impacts what I do, and people should be able to see that. So the question came out: what is a Christian? And John starts writing this letter. And in here, we're just going to look at just sort of the first four verses, sort of as an introduction in the first John. But get some indications a little bit. So I'm going to start reading in verse 1. Here we go. It shouldn't be Luke. All right, here we go. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full. Alright, as you go down there, you do want to turn your Bibles, because I'm not going to go back in here, so we're going to go back into the text. So 1 John chapter 1. In here, what he starts doing right off the bat, John starts saying, look, I'm sharing with you what I had, what, seen. Right, there's a lot of other people out there saying a whole lot of different things. And John says, look, I'm going to set the record straight because I was there. I was eyewitness. The John who wrote this is the same John who actually turned around and wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the book of 1 John. He wrote 2 John. He wrote 3 John. And the last book of Revelation. Besides Paul, John has written the most of the New Testament. Besides Paul. John, the Bible tells us, if you follow through the Gospels, was a young guy when he started off. James was his brother. Peter, James, and John were in the inner circles of Jesus' disciples. And so you're reading, talking about the disciples, and you'll hear Peter, James, and John, those three that were in the inner circle. The two brothers, James and John, were known as the sons of thunder. That tells you how little rambunctious they were. Actually, we see early on through the Gospels that they were kind of spitfires. Right? Sometimes youth has that effect. They came into a town and someone was preaching Jesus, but you know, they weren't hanging out with them, and so John turns around and says, hey, let's stop them. And Jesus says, hold on, John, hold on. You know, who's preaching for me can't preach against me. Let him be. And John was like, maybe I'm getting too close to home, you know. But then we turn around and later on, they're coming to a town and they were rejected. They were rejected. And John says, Lord, call down fire from heaven and get them. And Jesus is like, whoa, 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 whoa. Calm down, John. Calm down. Right? They're the sons of thunder. We see this. Well, by the time 1 John is written, a lot of time has transpired. John has matured. It can happen sometimes. We might fight it, but sometimes it happens. Praise God that He works on us. And we see God working in John's life. And finally we get down, especially when you read John's writings in 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, he calls the church that he talks to, my beloved, my children. He speaks eloquently of love and compassion. Man, what happened to that spitfire guy? God had mellowed him. Throughout the gospel, it's actually John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And in here, in the upper room, when they're celebrating the Passover with Jesus, it was John who had his chest, had his head resting on Jesus' chest. And when all the disciples left, it was John who was at the foot of the cross. And Jesus looks down at him and says, hey, John, see my mom? Take care of her. That's a loose translation there. But he goes, you take care of her. And from that day, John took Jesus' mom. He says, come on, I'll take care of you. We see this John who has been transformed by the power and the love of God in his life. He had been there. John was there when the feeding of the 5,000 took place. When the woman in adultery was brought before him and he saw the grace of God pour out and he forgave her. He was there on that Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, James, and John, only the three disciples that were there, who saw the glory that Jesus kind of held back, sort of peek out for a minute, and the overwhelming glory that showed out. John was there. He saw it. And so it's any wonder we get down into the book of 1 John, and he's writing to the church. And in here, all these other people are coming up and talking about what they had seen and what they had done. And John says, hold on, saw. We have touched Him. Don't you tell me what He said. I can tell you what He said. You know, today we have a lot of things of what Christians are supposed to be like. And the world tells us a whole lot of different things. The word Christian means Christ-like. If we call ourselves the disciples of Jesus, we are Jesus' followers, that we want to reflect and behave in a way that Jesus would act, how better should we know than someone who saw Jesus Himself? And so John goes through this letter, and we're going to see a very stark contrast. A lot of black and white. Here's the line, and this is where we go. You know, and I think this applies to us today because we live in a very gray world. Everyone wants to muddy the waters. Right? We see a lot of Christians who not necessarily are acting like Christians. We're not doing what Jesus would do. And so I think it's good refreshing for us to say, hey, John, what did you see? You know, in a practical manner in our lives, as we go out and we live Christ, can I tell you the most powerful thing that you have is your testimony. This is what I've seen. This is how God's worked in my life. You know, we had a little article and the lady was asking some things. And I didn't do a whole message. I didn't do a whole sermon. I just shared what Jesus had done in my life. And she couldn't argue with that. Actually, later on, we met with her and we were talking to her. And she has had some similar things in her life. And she goes, you sharing your testimony, you sharing what God has done in your life, touched me. Right? If you just stick to what you know, not what you don't know, but what you know, what has God done for you? What an impact that you can have on those around you. Right? So in here, the first thing they start talking about is what they had seen. Right? In the beginning, this is what we heard. This is what we've seen with our eyes. We looked upon. Our hands had touched. These are all the things. I can tell you what Jesus was like. So listen to me. The second thing we see here is that in here, as Christians, because of the testimony that John's going to share, that we have fellowship with one another. Take a look what the Scripture says. Verse 3 says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The fellowship we have. See, the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they agree? As a church here, I'm excited this morning. We have three people who are going to join the church. One of the things we do, we give them a constitution and we give them our doctrinal beliefs. And they've read through that and they say, yeah, these are things that we agree with and we want to join in together on that. See, the powerful thing is by exalting the Word of God, of following Him, of wanting to be like Jesus. Look, if you want to be like Jesus and I want to be like Jesus, guess what? We'll become more alike. Does that make sense? If you're pursuing God, not pursuing God, we're going to come closer together. Right? I mean, we might be very diverse in what we think, what we look like, all we do, right? We have different gifts and different talents and different abilities. Some of you are very different from me. That's probably a good thing. But in here, the unity, the fellowship that we can have is because we seek out Jesus. Can I dare say, we look at the church and the condition of it, one of the things that's failing is unity because what we've done is turn away from the truth of God. Israel had problems. You go through all the Old Testament, you go into the book of Judges, and every time there's problems, it starts off with every man did what was right in their own eyes. Right? When you do what's right for you and I do what's right for you, because isn't that what the world tells us? You do what's right for you. You do what feels good to you. Or the thing that always makes me cringe is the sort of the Disney thing. Follow your heart. Right? You ever heard anyone say that? Just follow your heart. You'll never go wrong. Just follow your heart. Well, the Bible says the heart is wicked and deceitful. Right? Who can know it? astray because it is wicked and deceitful. But Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says it's a way that seems right to a man, but the ways of are the ways of what? Death. Right? And so look, if you're pursuing what you want and I'm pursuing what I want and we're all doing our own thing, there's no unity, there's no fellowship. And I think we're seeing this in the church. More divisions, more factions than probably ever before. You know, we moved down from Holton many years ago. How many of you guys know where Holton is? All right, how many have been to Holton? The few, the proud, the chosen. All right. And at one point in time, we were in Holton at the time. And at one point, we counted something like 15 or 16 different churches in the town of Holton. Holton's not that big. And then we started going through and talking about, well, this church split off this church, and this church. There's one church that has split off four times. Right? And you talk to the community, and they're like, why would I want to be a part of that? I don't blame them. Right? You know the old joke. You know, they came up to this guy who was lost at sea on a deserted island by himself. And they came up to him, and they finally found him like 15 years later. And he said, oh, how are you doing? He goes, oh, I'm doing well. I've set up. Here's my camp. And he goes, here's my hut. And here's my house. You know, he goes, oh, wow, great. And, here's where I get my water. Oh, wow, that's wonderful. He goes, oh, what's that up on the hill? Oh, that little shed up there? He goes, that's my church. He goes, oh, well, what's on the other hill? Well, that's my other church, but I couldn't get along with them, so I split and made this one. Right? And we laugh because we know that experience. Right? I haven't been in town long, but I walked around and talked to people. People have been bruised and hurt by Christians, by churches, right? And they lump us all together. Right? How many years ago was the Catholic Church going through all the scandals, right? Now, we're not them. We don't do that, right? We look at all that. But guess what? The unsaved look at that and they lump us all together. And the cause of Christ is harmed. But what happens is we take and we've wandered from the Word of God, from the absolute of seeking out the truth. Today, people are like, what's truth? I can believe what I want. We see it tearing apart. Look at our nation. Right? Now, some of you grew up around, you know, in the 60s and you saw the great turmoil. It was in the 60s. I'm a little too young for that. So I missed some of that. And so for my life, I look up and I see our country in more turmoil, more division now than ever before. Why? Because everyone's off doing what's right in their own eyes. What holds us together anymore? You know, it's gotten to a point now where we can't even say, well, we're Americans. Right? Now, we live in a nation now where people will turn around and put a flag on their yard. I knew a gentleman a veteran who put an American flag on their yard, and the neighborhood got together and said, you need to take that down because that's divisive. And the whole association got up and tried to take him down. He was a veteran. He goes, over my dead body. So, we'll see how that works out. Right? But now we can agree that we're all Americans. We stand for the liberties and all that that goes along with that. We are so divided as churches and as Christians and with factions within ourselves. What we need, God, is for you to come and for us to hold you up. You become the standard. And we come to you. And then, Lord, as you do that, you will gather up His church. You'll gather us up together. We can have fellowship with one another because we are in agreement. You know, my wife and I don't always agree eye to eye on things. My wife and I we're a little bit different from one another. But you know what? At the end of the day, we both know we have to play by the same rules. Right? We know, God, this is what you said. So it's not my opinion, it's not her opinion. Okay, God, what do you say? And when we do that, you know what happens? We come together. And John turns around and looks at this church of the early days and he pulls it onto us and says, look, that you may have fellowship with one, not just one with one another, but also fellowship with God. Because we can't have fellowship with God if I'm saying, God, you know what, this is what you say, but I'm going to do this. This is what you want from me, but I'm going the other way. You know, this morning we took communion. And the purpose of that is to unite us with Him and unite us with one another. Jesus, this is Your blood. This is Your body that You did for me. And we center it around that in our lives, and He draws us all together to Him. And in here we have the fellowship with one another. And look at the last result. Right? As John is sharing this and says, what is a Christian? And what is a Christian to act like? And what is a Christian to do? Right? Then in here he shares what he has seen. In here, the result of that is fellowship with one another. But at the end of it, that we may have joy. Look at verse 4. It says, in these things we write to you that your joy may be what? Full. The idea of completeness in this. That we can have joy in the Lord. Right? In this world, as we serve the Lord, because as God is working in our lives, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells in us when we're saved. The Holy Spirit comes in our lives to teach us and to guide us in our lives. We've all felt that. Right? If you're going in your life and say, okay, you know, what should I do? And you feel that tugging in your heart to do something. Right? And sometimes in our lives, what we do is we resist that. The Bible talks about we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Of what we do and what we say, we sadden. The word grieve there means like a heartfelt wrenching. And in here, imagine, God lives in us. The Holy Spirit now dwells in us. And we take Him everywhere we go. How many places do we take Him to? He's like, I shouldn't be here. I shouldn't be watching this. I shouldn't be listening to this. And we're dragging Him around. Right? In the Bible says we grieve the Spirit. We can have our conscience seared with a hot iron. We build calluses in our life. And when we do that, our joy goes away. Our joy goes away. Right? Have you ever had conflict with someone? You know? You know, maybe a spouse, maybe you're an employee, or maybe someone else, and you know, you have that, right? And you ever sit there? Right? You ever been there? You know, sit in your house, and maybe you and your wife have been kind of butting heads a little bit, and you sit there and you're like, and she's over there, right? You know, then then someone walks in the room, they're like, whoa, you can just feel that tension, right? There's no joy there. Right? But then it comes out, I'm sorry. Oh, sugar pie, I'm sorry. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, thank you. Then you all kind of kiss and make up. And that's good. Right? The tensions are gone. Your fellowship is restored. You know, then you're giddy for a little bit. Right? Your joy may be full. I'll tell you, as a church, as we turn around and look at what God's doing in our midst, and we look at Him and we acknowledge Him and follow Him, that as a church we can rejoice. You know, I had the opportunity to write a pastor's report. I thought I was going to get off the hook, but Nancy pulled me off a week ago and said, oh yeah, by the way, pastor, you have to write a report. Thank you, Nancy. But these things are good because, you know, the annual business meeting that we have today, it's an opportunity for us to stop and say, God, look what You've done. You know, we have new people who are showing up here. We had 7-8 people get baptized this past summer, right? You know, look at the vacation Bible school that we have. Look at the Bible club that we're involved with. Look at all these things we're doing. God is good. Amen? And guess what? God's not done with us. As we focus on Him and say, God, help us do what You want us to do. There's going to be great joy as we rejoice in what God's doing. I believe it with all my heart. But God, help us do what You want us to do. Help us be Christians, not just in our hearts, but Lord, in our deeds and in our life. Lord, help me line up. Let my light so shine before men that they may see Your good works and glorify Your Father in heaven. What a day that will be. So all of this is sort of an introduction in the 1 John. It's a short book, but it's a powerful book. Lord, I want to be a Christian. In my life, in my deeds, in my thoughts, in my love. John, I want you to show us. And I hope you're excited to jump into this study and see what he is, what he's doing. Right? Lord, I want to be a Christian. How about you? Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray as we go through this study that, Lord, in this, help us. Mold us, Lord, into Your image, into Your likeness. Lord, some things may step on our toes, or there's maybe some things in our lives that we need to change. Lord, have Your perfect way in Your life. And in this, Lord, unite us together in fellowship around You. Unite us, Lord, in the joy that we can have in serving You. Thank You, Lord, for this work You're going to do. Lord, we ask this in Your name. Amen.